The MLS keeps growing and growing. So today we have a special guest, a sports journalist that covers MLS, a U.S. men's national team as well, Michele Giannone from TUDN Univision, also the Husky's Own podcast, U.S. Football Pod. So let's listen to this amazing interview with Michele.
You are listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.
Welcome to Footbox USA. Today we have a special podcast, an episode with a special guest, Michele Giannone, a sports journalist, sideline reporter for TUDN, for the MLS, Univision. So welcome, Michele. I'm with Patrick Meehan, Diego Arrioja. This is your home. We're going to talk about MLS, everything about MLS, about also your experience covering the sport. So Michele, welcome to this podcast.
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Oh, good. Excited to have you here. Obviously, one of the leading voices recent in the MLS in Spanish in the US, so we're excited.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. That's an honor. I'll follow you guys on social media and all you guys do, and you guys are great too.
So, Michele, tell us a little bit about your experience. You've been covering the MLS for how long? Right now, you're working with TUDN, Univision, and also covering for MLS. Covering the U.S. men's national team, but also you have your podcast, right? So tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now.
Yeah, well, I started covering the league I started with Univision when it was just Univision Deportes in 2014 in Miami. I started covering MLS and the USMNT. And then, well, with Univision, I moved to Mexico in 2015 to Mexico City. I was living there for 2 years. And those 2 years, I step away from Major League Soccer and USMNT. I was covering Liga MX and everything in Mexico. Because, you know, when you're in Mexico, nothing. It's more important than Liga MX. And then in 2017, Univision gave me the opportunity to move back to the US. And I came to San Diego. They wanted me to live in LA, but I said, no chance. I'm not going to deal with LA, that traffic. I don't like LA a lot. So I'm living in San Diego, and I restarted. And that time, LAFC was the idea of LAFC was announced with the Carlos Vela signing, and then eventually Chicharito came 2 years after. So it's been growing a lot, and I've been fortunate to have those two big teams here in Major League Soccer, and on this side, and then even here in San Diego with the San Diego Loyal, with Landon Donovan, and it's also a big time team for the USL that hopefully it can become a Major League Soccer one day. Now we have the NWSL team with the San Diego Wave. So San Diego has always been like a big soccer city. Even when I was, before I started moving here, I covered Xolos in two liguillas straight. And people that, and you could see it on the Xolos Stadium, they were telling me that almost 50% of their ticket sales were coming from San Diego, from the San Isidro side. So San Diego is a big, big soccer market in the US. So yeah, that's why I started like picking up a lot of Major League Soccer, covering LA Galaxy, LAFC, and still traveling with the US men's national team everywhere. Hopefully now after failing going to Russia with them, I still went to the World Cup, but not like following them. Now we get the chance to go to Qatar, knock on wood, and yeah, it's been fun. I mean, it's difficult sometimes with Major League Soccer because you don't get the attention that I think the league deserves. But I understand that our market, and I understand where I work. I work at Univision, like you, Diego, and TUDN, and we know that Liga MX, it's what takes the most attention and the most eyeballs, but especially this season, it's been a great start, so I'm super excited. And now with Seattle winning CONCACAF Champions League, it gave like another depth, another level to what we can start seeing coming to the league. So I'm very, very excited for what's coming in the next few years.
Yeah, and it was just what I was going to ask, because you've worked with Liga MX, covering Liga MX, you've worked with MLS, and just recently Seattle won the CONCACAF Champions League. So if you can, what are your thoughts on what's to come for MLS? I mean, obviously, they're not going to catch really soon on titles or anything else, but seeing an MLS side in the Club World Cup, being in the international stage, What's next to come? Do you think more MLS teams will focus their attention more on this competition? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, well, to start with, and you're in Seattle, Diego, if a MLS team should have won the first one, it had to be Seattle, right? I mean, it had to be Seattle, and I'm super happy that they did it. And when I was talking with them, I've always had this thing that bothered me. Like I was last year I was in Kansas City when for a Leagues Cup game between León and Sporting Kansas City. And literally Peter Vermes put literally like the Sporting Kansas City 2 as a starting lineup. He rests all the players. Like sometimes Major League Soccer, I don't think they haven't understand what international level and international play and international glory means. And then León came with their first team. They won, I think that game ended up like 5-1 or 6-1, something like that. But it was done like in 20 minutes. León scored like 4 goals. And that's something that you also see in the US Open Cup. Like sometimes people, teams and people in MLS, they just care about winning Major League Soccer. And when you talk with people like Lagerway, the Seattle GM, that he lost on that CONCACAF Champions League final against Monterrey when he was the general manager in Real Salt Lake. And he mentioned, it's the worst day of my life, personal and professional. So, and he's been striving to do that again, and he just made it with Seattle Sounders. And that's something that hopefully people can understand, people like him, understand what it means to go to a World Cup club tournament. When you spoke with players at Seattle Sounders, they were, yeah, it's awesome to win the CONCACAF Champions League trophy, the first one for Major League Soccer, but it's just going to that. Now, having the opportunity to play against Real Madrid or Liverpool, whoever wins the Champions League, that window, I think when Major League Soccer teams see that, they say, oh my God, that could have been us. Like that's so cool. So I think that needed to happen, a Major League Soccer going to a World Cup club competition to understand that, whoa, this level of competition exists. Because it's not the same when you get like European teams coming in the summer to play like preseason games and you fill the stadium. It's not the same. Now you're playing against Real Madrid, Liverpool, Manchester City, Bayern Munich for a title. So that, I think that's pretty cool, and that's gonna open eyes, and hopefully Major League Soccer clubs understand how cool and how awesome it's to be there, no? And having those challenges.
Yeah, no, I think because you touched a really good point. I think it's a breaking point for yeah. MLS, right? After winning this CONCACAF Champions League, as you say, Garth Lagerway understood from the beginning, right? And even I had the opportunity to go to the games, and he was saying, even on MLS games, he was saying like, hey, this is the most important game in our club's history, so yeah, we need to take it seriously. So I hope like other teams, as you mentioned, really understand. But I think I wanted to ask you too, because you're a sideline reporter, go to games. Yesterday you were in a game, well, you can tell us a little bit of that experience, like a 10 hour game in Columbus. But I think the fan, because I've seen on Twitter too, like even the Sounders fans, they don't really still get it what the CONCACAF Champions League title means, right? Yeah. Or going to that stage. And they say, well, it's not the MLS Cup. So like, okay, I don't care. But do you still see that across the US when you go to cover different games in specific stadiums?
Yeah, I see it. And that's the thing that still, like, I'm telling you, it bothers me a little bit. And we see it. I was talking this with Steve Cherundolo, the LFC coach, 2 weeks ago. I was at their camp doing some interviews, prepping, because we broadcasted their game last week, this week, and we're going to broadcast their game next week against San Jose. So I've been doing a lot of things with LAFC. And he's a guy that played his whole career in Germany. And with Hanover, he didn't play as a player on Major League Soccer. So he understands that culture of playing and winning and challenging teams and players to thrive in the international level. And you see it in the US Open Cup. A lot of Major League Soccer teams don't take it seriously and put like last year Sporting Kansas City with Leagues Cup, second teams, or they rest all of their players. And LAFC with the US Open Cup and Major League Soccer, that it had a midweek week. Last week they played Wednesday against Austin, and Cherundolo hasn't rested anyone. He's been playing a strong lineup every week, and he said, man, it's US Open Cup, it's a title. We want to win everything we want to play. And US Open Cup gives you a direct spot to the next CONCACAF Champions League. So it's an opportunity to, you don't have to win MLS Cup to go to the Champions League and play international. Just win US Open Cup. And that's the mentality that I think, and hopefully people, as the soccer growth keeps growing here in the US, people like Cherundolo that had that European experience and European mentality and culture of fighting everything. Like you see it on the Premier League. Like the Premier League, obviously it's the main thing, but people kill to win the FA Cup, for example, right? In Italy, Coppa Italia, I don't know. It's hopefully what's happening right now with Seattle, with people like Steve Cherundolo coming to the... How cool would it be for LAFC to win the double, like MLS Cup and US Open Cup? We need a team that wins both and open their eyes to the rest of the league. It's like, hey, it's possible, and why not? This is what we play, to win trophies. So I think starting to
let's
change.
Talk about LAFC and Cherundolo, because obviously he came in with zero experience, and I think there was a lot of doubts, but he probably has one of the best teams in the MLS right now, obviously a great roster. So yeah, what have you seen that you like from his team, and what are your kind of predictions to finish out the season for them?
Yeah, well, it's been a quick, I'm not going to say culture, but mood change inside LAFC. At the end, I don't think a lot of the players tolerated and loved Bob Bradley. He can be a lot of, I mean, we know Bob Bradley. He has a difficult character sometimes. Yeah. And I can tell you, players love Cherundolo. They love him. I was speaking with Carlos, with Carlos Vela, with Kellyn Acosta, Ilya Sanchez, which I think it's been the best defensive midfielder this year on MLS, and Ilya, who played for Peter Vermes for a long time in Sporting Kansas City, and he was a free agent at the end of this year and came to LAFC, and he told me, I came just for Steve Cherundolo. Like, I had a 20-minute conversation on the phone with him, and he convinced me. And he had a lot of offers around MLS, and said, I picked LAFC because of Cherundolo. Kellyn Acosta, he's been he grew up on Dallas, he played on Dallas, he played on Colorado Rapids, and now he says, the thing with Cherundolo is that he recently retired, and he's super into, he told me two things that struck me the most. One is like, I treat them as people first, and then players, and everything else, it's gonna set up by itself, like the tactics, group meetings, etc. Everything will come into place if we can create an atmosphere that we enjoy being here every day. So I think the players are 100% bought in. I think Carlos Vela is gonna stay because he has a great connection with Steve Cherundolo, and he has like revive that flame to stay on him on Major League Soccer, because I'm telling you this from straight sources, like he had it with Bob Bradley, like he wanted out, and him and his family, his wife at the beginning of the year were pushing for a move to Europe. Their best case scenario was moving back to Europe, but now Carlos is like reinvested on staying on LAFC. They think now they have a really good team, like to win US Open Cup and MLS Cup, supporter shields and everything. And yeah, it's Cherundolo has been a mood change for the better. And it's been, everybody's in love with him.
So talking about LAFC, and do you put them from your perspective as the favorites to win it all? Or is there any other team on the Eastern Conference, for example, Philly, or the actual champions, New York City FC, which one would be your team to take the MLS Cup?
Yeah, I think there's New York City FC on the east and LAFC on the west, and then there's a big gap, and then Philly, Austin, Seattle is gonna climb up and get into a playoff, that's for sure. But yeah, I think there's a big gap between those two, because New York City FC, when they want to play and they play in transition, those Brazilians up front with Tati Castellanos, the thing is that we don't know if Tati is going to stay. I don't think he's going to stay. I think he's going to leave to Europe in the summer. But I think they have the pieces to replace him. Like yesterday, he didn't play and they still beat Chicago, which is another story. Chicago, we can talk about that later. It's just a mess. But yeah, I think it's LAFC, New York City FC, then a gap, Philly, and then a huge gap with the rest of the league for now.
Yeah, I think the fight definitely is, I think we can see the clear favorites in each conference, but then the rest of the pack is like really close, and it's good to see how they close it out. And I wanted to kind of go more into an individual, because Sheridan Shaqiri is the top earner in MLS. He's had a quiet season, and obviously it takes this to a whole different conversation on like what type of players should the MLS bring. But if you can take us through what you think of Sheridan Shaqiri's time so far, and if he can maybe turn it up.
I mean, he's been disappointing, and the whole team has been really disappointing. I was super high on them at the beginning of the year. I think they're gonna get better because now they got Chris Mueller. Now Jairo Torres, it's here, and I think Jairo can be he has the talent to be a best 11 on Major League Soccer. But he's been disappointing in the sense that, like you mentioned, he's making what, it's $8.4 million or something, 8.4. I mean, he's like $2 million above Chicharito, and he's by far the best player paid in the league. So the production is not there. And it's something that we start seeing on MLS since a couple of years now, that I don't know why the teams make these whole investments. Like, for example, he was making like $2 or $3 million at Lyon where he was. Like, why did you go to 8.4? Why? Was it necessary? He wasn't gonna get more than what he was making at Lyon anywhere in the world. So now we see, like, sometimes Major League Soccer like overthink this, and we're seeing it with Higuain in Inter Miami, with Pizarro, even Galaxy.
Chiellini maybe.
Well, I think that's a TAM deal, so we can talk about that. It's not that bad. If you're giving Chiellini a DP deal, then yeah, let's burn everything down. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about a team that is last, not in the Western Conference. They're dead last in the league. They haven't won a game in 10 games, including US Open Cup, with 7 losses. And yeah, you didn't have Jairo Torres and Chris Mueller to start the season, but that's not a sufficient excuse. Like, what about Pribilsko, that you spent 1.2 in GAM? I'm a big fan of Federico Navarro in the midfield. Gaston Jimenez, who's been kind of a bust the past 2 years, but he's been playing better. They have a good defense. They have Slonina on net. So not having good wingers, or not having Chris Mueller and Jairo Torres at the beginning of the year, it's not an excuse to be dead last in the whole league, not winning the last 10, losing 7 almost in a row. It's the fire, it's a tire fire, like they say. And yeah, Shaqiri has to do better. He has to do better, because if not, those 8.4 million are, it's basically burning money. And he has to be, at the end of the year, he has to be, for that money to work, he has to be on the MVP race, an MVP leading candidate. This team has to be in the playoffs, and he has to be on the best 11 at the end of the year for MLS. If not, the investment doesn't work. I'm sorry. It's $8+ million. I'm sorry, it doesn't work.
It's already like looking like a mission impossible, right? For Chicago Fire.
Yeah, it's incredible.
So you point out really good cases of I would say failures that come to the MLS. Obviously, Sheldon Shakir is still too early, right? But let's talk about then what type of profiles should the MLS be looking for, right? Because we've seen a lot of South American players, and I can give the example from Sounders, right, covering here, that they brought really, I would say, effective players, not like, I would say, top-notch players, but they're really, really good. João Paulo is one example, right? Last year, he was in the MVP race. Nico Lodeiro, obviously. But now we've seen younger and younger South Americans coming to the MLS. Do you think that's the right path to move forward?
Yeah, well, also, like, invest more in the academy, too. And we see it with Seattle Sounders. Now João Paulo is gone, but you have Obed Vargas. You have Josh Atencio. The academies work, and that saves you money, because the academy players don't make almost anything. But Obed Vargas is like $97,000, something like that, for a year. So, but yeah, I think I don't know if you go full Atlanta and every year spend $15-17 million going to Argentina and bringing Barco. Now Almada, I think Almada is the real deal. I think Almada is going to be better than Barco and Pity Martinez combined, and he's been showing it. But yeah, I think South America, and even Mexico. I mean, what Chicago did bringing Jairo Torres, I think it's one of the best signings in the year. It's about scouting for your academy and for other leagues. You can go into Europe and not spend a lot and bring players like what Charlotte did with Sidersky, for example. He's a very good player, and Charlotte, it's gonna be okay. I think also Miguel Angel Jimenez is a great coach. He's the youngest coach in Major League Soccer, but I think he's great. He's one of those guys that their players love him. So that, I think that's important. But again, I think it starts, especially Major League Soccer, that sometimes it's too, I don't want to get this to sound the wrong way, but it's too American in the sense of like everything, it's too square. So, and everything is like a trickle down. And you see it in Seattle. It's, I mean, if the owner works and he makes a decision, if the owner is working good, then the general manager, then the coach and scouting department, it's like a waterfall, right? So I think Seattle, and you see which teams are the one that end up winning all the time. Those that have a good academy system set up, a good ownership, a good general manager, a solid coaching staff, that's gonna show up on the field. It's not about going to like, oh, I'm gonna go and offer Shaqiri $8 million and we're gonna fix everything. Atlanta, oh, I'm gonna go buy a Argentinian superstar for $50 million and it's gonna just work out. No, you need to work and that's and you see it in Atlanta right now. Atlanta, it's been a mess because the ownership has done those decisions that it's been head scratchers. But now you put into place a very talented head coach like Gonzalo Pineda that can navigate through that and fix those internal problems. And now see Joseph Martinez, it's injured, but now they lost Miles Robinson, they lost Osvaldo Alonso, and now he's working it out. And that's what you need. If you have a very well coaching staff and ownership established, everything's gonna it's gonna reflect on the field.
Yeah, you mentioned Miguel Angel Ramirez, who I love that he came to the MLS. Mm. And he was in a little bit of a controversy recently with, or quoting, or I think he said it, but then he said he didn't say it that way, that Messi's not a necessity for the MLS. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that? Because obviously, yeah, he's going to be older, but at the end of the day, he's going to be Messi.
I mean,
still,
yeah. You know? I mean, I don't think, yeah, another report came out, and eventually I think Messi's coming to Major League Soccer. And he's coming to Inter Miami. That's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen on next summer or whenever he's coming, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be in Inter Miami. There's no chance he comes to another team. He has a house in Miami, whatever. But it's Messi, man. It's probably the best soccer player of all time. It doesn't matter if he's not the same, if he's 40 years old. It's Messi. And you do everything you can to bring in him. And in a market like Miami, I think the ideal situation is that he comes in the summer when they open the stadium. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're hoping that it's going to be ready 2024, maybe, or 2025, whatever. But I don't think Messi's coming next summer. That's not the information that I have, but who knows? But even if he comes later, it's Messi, man. even if he's playing on one leg. I think Messi has the mentality to come here, and especially seeing what Higuain has done, that it's not an easy league that's just going to come here and walk the field. And I think he knows, especially, you know, Messi, Cristiano, those players are above everything else on the field, like their brand. Like, he has to, he knows that when he comes, everyone is going to be watching. Everyone. It's not like when he went to Paris Saint PSG. I was like, yeah, you guys, no one's going to watch the domestic league. Like, give me a break. We're going to just watch Messi when he's playing Champions League. And that's what happened. Nobody were watching PSG during the season on League One. But when he comes to Major League Soccer, he's going to be something that is going to transcend everything. And I think he has the mentality to know that he has to work and play to play well. So I think it's Messi. It doesn't give him whatever he wants.
it's a different, I agree. Different mentality, different level of play, right? And his work ethic shows. But let's shift gears a little bit, Michele, just to finish the interview. But because you travel a lot around the US, and now, you know, just thinking about 2026, the World Cup in the US, Canada, and Mexico. If you had to pick the stadiums, and let's put aside New York and LA, because they're going to get them regardless, right? Because they're the big cities in the US. Which stadiums would you pick? Because I know there's a lot of, there's going to be some decisions that they need to make, right? Including Seattle, and, you know, it's one of them on the West Coast, but also on the East Coast. So from the stadiums that are on the list, which ones would you pick?
Man, I would love that. And that's the things that thing that sucks with MLS stadiums, that they're not big enough for the World Cup. Because I love some of the MLS specific stadium, like Bank of California here in LA. I love the new Cincinnati stadium. It's awesome. But I think, wow, it's going to be NFL stadiums, right? Sadly, there's no MLS stadium, specific stadium even. The biggest one is Nashville with 30,000, so that's not gonna work. I think Charlotte, it has to be there. I don't know if Charlotte is in the final list. Yeah, right. I don't know. I don't have the list in front of me.
No, so we have Charlotte is not there, but it's so Cincinnati is it like a MLS specific stadium, right? We have Seattle, San Francisco, Levi Stadium, obviously LA. We have Colorado. And then on we have in Texas, I think also, I forgot to mention the AT&T Stadium, Dallas, no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
But there's Houston, for example, there as well on the list, right? And then on the East,
But Cincinnati, it's not going to be the MLS stadium because it's not that big. I think it's 27,000 or something. It's going to be the NFL stadium. I think AT&T, the Cowboys Stadium, it's a must. San Francisco, that the Santa Clara area, specifically because the area is very accessible. If you're in San Francisco, if you're in San Jose, it's like 15 minutes away from downtown San Jose. Even if you can even drive from Portland or Seattle, it's the big two markets that you can just drive. Seattle, I think Lumen Field has to be picked if I'm choosing them. Well, obviously, like you said, New York is going to get one. I think the finals should be played in LA in SoFi Stadium. I've been there several times and it's unbelievable. Like if you've been in AT&T Stadium at the Cowboys Stadium and you think that's awesome, or Atlanta has to be there, at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium has to be there. And it's amazing, but SoFi Stadium in LA, it's something that I've never thought a stadium could be built like that. It's incredible. So I think, New York, LA, San Francisco, Seattle, Dallas, obviously, and Atlanta. I think those will be my main six ones, right?
Completely agree. Hey, Michele, so we're going to say goodbye for this podcast for Footbox USA, but I just wanted to also mention to follow your social media account. So at Michele G3 on Twitter, also on Instagram. Michele, thanks a lot for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Hope you can come again to Footbox USA. Here's your home. So to talk about soccer, and we have more topics to talk about, but I wanted to appreciate your time. So thanks again for joining Footbox USA.
No, thank you guys. It was super fun. Anytime you want me, I'm here. I'm every day. MLS, I can talk Major League Soccer and soccer every day of the week, year. So thank you so much for having me. It was super fun. Whenever you guys hear, I'm here. It was an honor.
Thanks again. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Footbox USA, an exclusive podcast from Footbox.